cries of our heart this morning lifted powerfully to you. All praise and honor and glory belongs to you and you alone, and no other thing, no other creature, no other created thing deserves the glory but you. And why is that? Because you alone, the one who paid the debt that we could not pay. And Father, without you, without that truth, we are dead, we are lost, we are without hope. There will be no reason to sing. Lord, Paul said it so well. If what we believe about the resurrection is not true, then what a fool we are. But Lord, we know it to be true. Lord, we'd be nothing without you. Father, thank you that you paid it all, not part, not half, not we had to, you forgave half and we had to work the way to the rest. Lord, you forgave every sin we would ever commit. So Lord, we just stop and say thank you. Lord, would you meet with us this morning as we dive into your word, as we finish up this series of Back to the Basics. Father, some of the fundamental truths of our Christian life and of, Father, of our church, what it means to be a follower of Christ. So God, I pray you'd speak to us. I pray for every child that is here listening, for every student, for every mom and dad, single person, married, grandparent, anybody in this room, that Lord, you would speak to us and we would hear you and respond to that which you tell us. God, we'd go back to the basics and remember what matters most. God, thank you for the privilege of speaking, proclaiming your word this morning. May you use me, may you fill me, may you speak life into these people, I pray, and into mine as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, if you'll turn your copy of God's Word or there on your mobile device, your app, and you may use the Bible app there. You can turn to see the notes there as well as the scriptures that we'll be looking at this morning. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse number 44. We're going to finish up our series this morning. We'll take a pause next Sunday for Labor Day Sunday and just a standalone message, and then beginning September the 11th, hard to believe, the 15th anniversary of 9/11 will be on that day, and we'll begin a brand new series entitled Share. There is a card in your worship guide that talks about that series. The resources for that are on sale beginning today. There's a $10 workbook we ask everybody to get this, and be a part of a life group. That is so critical, and we'll talk more about why that is in the coming Sundays together. But you need to be a part of a life group. That's really where the application part of this series is going to be. And if you miss it, you're going to miss the key component of how to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm going to be sharing in my message series kind of the theology, if you will, behind that, about the gospel and why it is what we share and why we share it. But the really key part, the tell someone part of that material there that you'll be purchasing there, is the critical piece. If you're not involved in life group, September 11th is a perfect time to jump into one. We'll offer one on Wednesday night as well. If you're interested in leading that, let me know. We need to have a leader for that. But we'll be beginning that on September the 12th, 13th, 14th on that Wednesday evening as well. And the series is entitled Share. The bullets beyond that, tell someone, 3151. We need to be praying for three friends, learn one gospel presentation, invite five people to your life group, and share the gospel with one person in the month of October. And I'll talk more about that as my message really ties these two together this morning and to get us into September. One more thing and then to dive into the message this morning. John Marsh, his shoes are here. He has been outside of Kathmandu, Nepal over this last week. He's back in Kathmandu now, flew on the helicopter back into Kathmandu. And he'll be returning beginning tomorrow evening, his time. It'll be tomorrow morning, our time. Returning back to the States. And we will be praying for him and his family. And I look forward to hearing what God did in his life this last week in particular in his life and how God used him. Well, back to the basics. Don't want to rehash these back to the basics. Want to come back and cover the three we've done so far to remember where we are and not forget those basics about who we are in Christ and how we are to grow and be a follower of Christ And the challenge is to remember not to yawn at these things and not to treat them as baby-like, but to remember that we from time to time need to come back to what matters most. We can get real distracted and real into a lot of other things, and not that those things are bad in of themselves, but if we forget what matters most, then we tend to drift. We tend to get off track. We tend not to matter or major on what is major, and we major on the minors. And we need to be majoring on what's most important and significant. And so we've kind of been diving into that truth, our mission statement, engaging people with the hope of the gospel to see lives transformed. Again, it's kind of broken into three sections, engaging people with the hope of the gospel to see lives transformed. That is our overarching picture. What is Petal First Baptist about? People say, what is your church about? There's what we're about, engaging people with the hope of the gospel to see lives transformed. Well, how do we do that on a daily basis? What are those basics? We want every member, every believer, every person who's a part of Petal First Baptist Church, what do we want you to be doing? How do we flesh that out? How do we live that out? How do we make that become a reality? How do we see that happen in the endeavors that we're involved in? And so you begin to see it unfold in your life. There's a strategy. There's a reason why we're doing the things we're doing at Petal First Baptist. We're not doing them haphazardly. We're not doing them just thinking, oh man, we need to go and do disaster relief. You know why we're doing disaster relief? Because if it's a part of the one we're going to talk about today, it's part of going. It's a part of our DNA. It's a part of what we value as being a part of Petal First Baptist. So it fits beautifully. There are some things that we say no to because they simply don't fit into our DNA. And that's okay. We can't say yes to everything. We'd love to be involved in every single ministry that's humanly possible, but that we have to narrow down into who we are and what God has specifically called Petal First Baptist to do. That's what makes us unique, right? And each church is unique in what it does. And so this is a critical thing. So you wonder, well, why are we doing this, or why are we going there, or why is we make this decision or that? Well, here's why. We try to do it with what's encapsulated inside this picture. And you can see it before we dive the scripture. Michael, if you'll jump that picture up there. Here's what it looks like. Connect, grow, commit, and go. I want to see every person connected to Christ first and to the church. And so we kind of dove in a couple of those. We connect with Christ. We connect with our families, our physical families. We connect with them on a deep level. We connect with our church family, our Petal FBC family. Again, connecting deeply, not just on a surface level, which is so easy for us to do if we just get on autopilot. If we just kind of coast, and we kind of coast in the church and coast out, but we're not really connected. And you know what I mean when I mean connected? I mean, people know you. You are known. You invite people. You connect people. You're a part of the body of Christ here. And I don't mean your name was on a roll or your rear end fills up a chair, right? I mean, are you connected? And these four things, if these are not a part of your life, let me say this other first statement up front. If these four things are not a part of your life, listen to me, then you are not committed to the basics of being a follower of Christ. If you can excuse an area and say, well, that's not for me, that's for somebody else. I don't have time for that. That's not my thing. That's not my deal. Folks, these are straight out of the Word of God. All four of these are what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, does that make sense? And so what we want you to see is that if you say, wow, man, I think I'm connected, but I'm not sure I'm really growing in a particular area, then that's where God's speaking to you. And so my encouragement is, don't blow this off and say, well, I mean, that's really nice, preacher. I get it. I understand it. But we want you to know this is application. This is to say, this is for me and for my family and for my kids and for my spouse and for my family together. So we need to see these are not just some cool words we came up with, though they're cool, and there's a kind of a connect, grow, commit, go, CGCG. Yeah, it's easy to remember, but we want you to remember it because it's significant. It gives you a picture of what a spiritual growing person looks like. So connecting yourself to the body of Christ, connecting with friends, and then connecting with those who are far away from God, that is our call. So are you connected in those ways? Second, not only are you connected, are you growing in a deepening relationship with Jesus Christ? A daily time alone with the Lord is the most vital piece of that puzzle. A daily family worship time, worshiping with your family. We talked about some very strategic and very practical ways to go about doing that. We gave you a lot of resources in that message that would help you go about doing that in your family. So you say, I don't know where you want to start. What do I do? We gave you some very hands-on things that would help you know how to lead your family to worship time. How to have your own quiet time, your own daily time with the Lord, and not when you're blowing your hair dryer, you're falling asleep at night, and you're in strategic, specific ways to do that. a weekly life group. If you're not in a life group, listen to me. Listen to me carefully. It's biblical. People say, well, where did a life group idea come from? Well, it's biblical. Acts, they broke into small groups, in this case, in homes then. We'd have buildings now. And so some churches still do homes. Our church, just because it works best for us, we meet here for small groups. So if you're not in a small group, listen to me, you will not grow in the way God designed you to grow. Boy, that sounds kind of saying it like it is, preacher. I am. You're not going to grow. You will not, because you are not connected to a group of people who can encourage you, whom you can also encourage and hear and listen and learn from one another. And when you enter those moments of crisis in your life, you'll find out how connected you are and how really part of a growing part of a life group that you are. I've often said, if you could choose one or the other, I would tell you to go to a life group before you came to worship. I believe in it that much. Life group leaders, I hope you hear me say that. Life groups are that vitally important in our church and in your growth as a believer. And then finally, a weekly worship experience. I'd encourage you to do two of them. I'd encourage you to come Sunday morning and Wednesday night. We don't do Sunday nights. We do meetings on Sunday nights. We try to be very strategic, and that's something that I inherited, but I think it's really worked for us, and we want to be strategic. So people say, well, I can't do Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and meetings in between. So we don't do all those things. We're strategic about Sunday morning, and we're just as strategic about Wednesday night. So I'm going to encourage you, if you haven't tried out Wednesday night for your family, be here. We go deep in the Word of God for adults. Our students are in here. We had almost 70 teenagers in here Wednesday night. It was awesome. We had a bunch of kids. We got to translate some of those onto Sunday morning in both of those arenas, which would be fantastic. And then we have our preschool. All those areas are covered. You have a place that you can grow in a weekly morning worship experience and even on a Wednesday night. Then the third one we looked at last week was commit. Commit your time and resources to serve Christ and others, right? To serve Christ and others. We'll look at three truths just quickly. Number one, the giving of my time, unending stewardship. That key word was redeem. Redeem the time. So the question is, where are you serving? Are you connected to the church? Are you a member? Are you vitally, not just a member on a name, on a role, but are you vitally connected? Are you growing in your walk with the Lord, both privately and corporately in the body of Christ? And then are you committed your time to serve others? Now, there's a lot of things that are grabbing our time. I know there's tons of things grabbing our time. But the question is, are you redeeming the time for eternal value? Are you doing that which will last? The second piece we talked about was the giving of my talents, undeterred service. Where are you serving in the body of Christ? So listen to my heart. Let me say another next level statement. Are you connected? Are you growing? Are you connected to a life group, right? And are you serving somewhere? We want every person in our church that is connected, that is a member, that is in a life group, that is finding their place of service. Whether it's inside these four walls and a ministry that includes that, or it is a ministry that goes outside of these walls. So maybe it's a backyard kids club. It doesn't meet inside here, but it's part of the ministries of our church. Where are you serving? If you're not serving, listen to me, you're not growing. Because you're not fulfilling the growth that God wants you to have to make a difference, to make an impact in our church. You've been given a shape. The challenge is this. Everyone is a minister. Everyone is called to serve in the body of Christ. And the third piece was the giving of my treasures, unrestrained generosity. The next step up the generosity ladder, that you're seeing yourself growing in your giving of your financial resources to the Lord. So that's the commit piece. Commit your time and your resources to serving Christ and others. Then we come to the last one today. The one that perhaps we know the most, but in recent decades, we have done the least. Statistics bear it out in our convention, where it used to take one in about 38 or 39 Southern Baptist church members to win somebody to Jesus. We're now up to one in almost 60 members it takes to win one person to Jesus Christ. That's disturbing. That's a disturbing trend. What does that mean? It means that we have bought into the lie that people don't want to hear about Jesus, that people don't want to be invited to church, that people don't really have the time to listen to us, or we don't want to take the time. Lots of excuses we come up with in our minds. If I don't have time, people don't want to listen. People won't care what I want to say. People won't respond that way. I've not been a Christian long enough. There's all kinds of things we come up with to not fulfill this last call of going and sharing the love of Christ with everyone, everywhere. One of the overarching banner pieces we have in our church is that every family in our church, every person in our church would at least one time a year, this is not much of a commitment, one time a year would do something where they are going on mission. Something. Well, I've got children, I've got babies, I'm an older adult, I can't go here and do that. We want to provide every person some way that you can say at the end of 2016, as you look back from now until then and say, I was able to go and make a difference. I was able to go and share the love of Christ with everyone everywhere. Right? And our everyone everywhere, we say that because we don't know where else God might lead us. For us, strategically, that's Petal, right? That is Mississippi, right? And a strategic part of Mississippi and even strategic parts of Petal. So God has even narrowed down for us one of the areas of Petal. We want to reach all of Petal, along with all the other churches, but Forest Park has become an area we really feel God has called us to. So that's our piece. We can't hit every neighborhood in Petal, but we've been hitting that one because that's where we are. Mississippi, might be some Hattiesburg kind of ministries. North America, we've narrowed down to New Orleans and maybe Vancouver, Canada in the future. But New Orleans, Louisiana, and St. Rose Community Church there, we feel like that's where God has called us to help be a part of the planting of that church there in St. Rose, which is well on its way to becoming a full-fledged church already. And then to the ends of the earth, Haiti and Indonesia. There in Southeast Asia with our Sangal Sakadao people group, we feel very called to those places. So somewhere you find your call, say, Lord, where do I need to go? So here's the checklist this morning. Here it is, just right out of the gate. Here's the checklist. Can you check off for you that you're doing all four of these things? And if you're not, listen to me carefully, and I love you, I'm your pastor, so I want to speak the truth to you, so I want every person to hear it. If you can't check the boxes all the way around the circle, then my encouragement to you, if it's at grow, then start at grow. If it's connect, then start at connect. Wherever it is for you, that you find the place where you are in this circle, and it's a circle on purpose. We didn't come up with this. We thought, well, a square didn't really work very good. Or we tried to use an octagon. That didn't work very well. No, we did a circle intentionally. Here's why. Because some of you might say, well, man, I'm doing all four of these. Man, that is awesome. So here's the challenge for you. You were thinking to yourself, whew, I got all those checked off. I'm in good shape. I don't have to listen anymore. Oh, no. No, no, no. Listen. Then our challenge is this. Discipleship. Then your challenge and my challenge is to go find somebody outside of these four walls or maybe inside these four walls who have not even gotten to the connect part, or maybe they're at the connect part, and you go and you disciple them, you teach them, you show them, you walk alongside them, you help them go all the way around the circle as well. And then eventually the two of you separate and say, you know what, we'll meet maybe once a month or once a quarter just to kind of connect and reconnect about these things specifically, but I'm going to go find somebody else and you're going to go find somebody else. And now instead of just being one, there's two, now there's four, right? And just think about it. Watch what happens in just a matter of years. If 10 people in our church caught the vision of not just being content to do the four, which is great, but helping others do the four, the connect, grow, commit, go. Watch what happens. So four people make that commitment. Watch. Then there's eight people that are going to be discipled. The four that are doing it and the four that are being discipled. Then those eight then become 16. And those 16 become 32. And the 32 becomes 64, and you can see where this goes, 128, and so it begins to be exponential, which is why the title of the message says, go multiply rapidly. Here's what our calling is as a church body, is to grow rapidly. Why? So we can, I don't know if you saw the Petal News or not, I'm thinking to myself, oh Lordy. What are all the other churches in town and people thinking in town? Boy, Petal First Baptist is about promoting themselves, aren't they? Good night. We didn't call the Petal News about either thing that we were doing that was in the Petal News this last time. And there we are on the front page and the middle page. I'm like, oh my goodness. But we're doing the things that God has called us to do, and people heard about it, and they wanted to know what we were doing. So we rejoice in that, but here's the picture. We want to grow rapidly. Right? So we can't be content. Well, I'm doing all the four things. I'm good. I can kind of sit down and relax. No, I've got to find who can I take through that process as well and help them and disciple them and show them and teach them what it looks like and what it feels like and what it sounds like and how you live that life. So making that personal one-on-one investment in the life of somebody, it'll make a difference. So for you, check the box for you. Connect, check, I'm good. I'm connected to the body. I'm deeply connected. I'm not just showing up and attending. Now, if you just showed up today or you've been visiting a couple times, well, obviously, this is a process. So you're at that connect stage. For some, you've already connected and you're part of the body of Christ. You're deeply connected. You're growing. Are you growing in your walk with the Lord? And then thirdly, are you committed? Are you committing your time and your resources? So maybe you say, well, I'm not quite there yet, but I need to check that box. That's me. I need to start right there. Right? Or maybe you're at the go. You need to check the go box. Whatever it is for you, check that and say, God, this is what it is for me. We know the go. I don't have to talk to you very long about go. We know it. We get it. We've heard the Great Commission a million times. Go ye therefore into all nations, right? Teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Go to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. We've heard those until we sometimes, they kind of just roll over us. So I want to come back to a different scripture. Luke chapter 24, to help us think about these few thoughts this morning. Let me give you a little bit of background context, and then we'll pick up in verse number 44. Jesus is having a conversation with two guys on the road to Emmaus, right? Jesus has just risen from the dead. This is on Sunday, the day he rose. And this is Sunday evening, late Sunday evening. And they're very distraught because they've not heard the news yet that Jesus is alive. They had heard some rumors about it, but they didn't think it to be true. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears on the road to Emmaus and starts talking with them, having this conversation. It's a great set of scriptures. And they begin to talk, and Jesus begins from the Old Testament, the prophets, and explains the gospel that Jesus was the fulfillment of all those prophecies. And boy, they begin to get it. Their wheels begin to turn. The Bible says later that their hearts burned within them when Jesus was with them. Oh, powerful words. Right? So what is he leaving with? At the end of this conversation, he leaves them, and then he comes back and talks to his disciples again. And this is what he leaves them with. Look in verse number 44. Now he said to them, "These are my words as I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And then he said to them, "Thus is it written that Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead for the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Luke is the author of the book of Luke. He picks up the second part of the book of Luke in the book of Acts. And we see the disciples sitting there waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Jesus ascends back to the Father, and they wait. And then you read in Acts chapter 2, which we've been going through the last year and a half or so through the book of Acts, we see the Holy Spirit come, and they begin to fulfill that very call which God had given them. And here's the challenge for the church today. Here's the challenge. Students, listen to me carefully. In your schools, adults, in your jobs, in your neighborhoods, in your friendships, in your families. The call from Jesus in Luke chapter 24, in Matthew chapter 28, in Acts chapter 1, and the end of Mark, and even the end of John. Jesus tells his disciples, here is your call, here is your mandate, here is your reason to be on earth, is to be my witnesses. Not be my professional ministers, not to be a professional missionary, but to be my witnesses. Doctors and lawyers, teachers, sanitation workers, an accountant, a professional, a secretary, a student, a child, wherever calling where you are right now, God has placed you. If you know Christ as Savior and Lord, then you are called, and I am called, to be a witness. What is a witness? Well, you tell something that you've seen. You tell something that you've heard. You tell people about what Jesus has done for you. we share is really the word we would use. And that share comes to this acronym. It's this on your outline. Number one is this: to share with others. Invite people to come. So many of you have taken the opportunity to invite somebody to come. If we were to take a survey of those who have come to this church family, I would guarantee you, almost without exception, that at least 95% of those people would say, this person shared Christ with me, or this person invited me. There are the 5% that maybe saw a sermon online, and in spite of that, me talking really fast, and in spite of me being really long, for some unknown reason, they still came to church here. It blows my mind, really. But outside of that 5% of the invitations that I extend personally, 95% of people are not here because of a sign, because of a building, because of its location. Although all those things are great, they came because you, Petal First Baptist people, invited them and you shared with them about what God was doing in your life and the life of Petal First Baptist Church. That's why many of you are sitting in this building. 4 years ago, there were 130 people sitting in these chairs. We had about 280 chairs set up. Today, we have almost 500 chairs set up. What happened? Sometimes I wonder, what happened? Here's what happened. You shared. We've seen 123 people accept Christ as Savior and Lord and be baptized in this baptistry over the last 4 years. You've shared. But here's the challenge. There are still many, many thousands more who need someone to share with them the truth of the gospel and extend an invitation. Would you come? I've told you this before, but I'll never forget when he did my very first Friendship Sunday in Alabama. My friend Akram Saleem, he's originally from Iran. His family escaped before the revolution. He came to live over here in the States. He was the manager of the Little Caesars and then the Pizza Hut at the time. And as a preacher, sometimes it's very challenging because you're with church people and in a church all day long, and so it's challenging to find lost people. So I have to work at that constantly. But I had my friend Akram. We'd had some conversations about the Lord. We had sat down at the Pizza Hut and had conversations about the Bible and about the Quran. And we had some conversations. And so it came to Friendship Sunday. I'm like, well, I got to invite him, but I don't think he'll come. I mean, he says that he's Muslim. He doesn't really practice it, but he says he's Muslim. So I know he's not going to come to the church, so I don't even bother asking him. But the preacher had to stand up and hold his card and say, I invited somebody. The pressure was on. I didn't want to challenge my people to do something that I wasn't willing to do, even though I didn't think he would come. And so I asked my church folks on Wednesday night to pray, would you please pray for Akram? Tomorrow on Thursday, we're going to have lunch at Peach Park, and I'm going to extend the invitation. And I already prepared myself. I mean, I had like 9 different angles I was going to come at. I mean, I was prepared to not let him say no. Though I knew, I really was convinced as I walked out the way from Peach Park, buying him lunch, that I knew the answer was going to be no. We were good friends. He really respected me. God had given me favor with him. I had prayed that God would do that. We got to Peach Park that day, and we had lunch. We talked small talk, blah, 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 blah. We talked a while, so I got to the point. I mean, I am just, boy, you're thinking to yourself, well, the preacher is a professional at this. I bet his heart wasn't even beating fast. Here's what my heart sounded like. I mean, I was about to have a heart attack right there in the spot. Oh, my goodness. All right, so I got ready. I woke some of you up. Some of you were completely not paying attention. That got you pay attention. That was good. Let me do that one more time. There it is back there. I see it back there. That's good. All right. So anyway, so I get ready. I get the card out, and I'm like, Akram, I've got to ask you something. You've known me for a long time, and I've never asked you this before. Would you do something for me? And I said, I'm asking you to say yes before you know what I'm asking you to do. Would you mind? And he's like, no, I'm not going to say that. I said, okay. So would you come and be my guest at my church? You and your family, and we want to take you to lunch afterwards to our house. And I was already, my mouth was open, ready to answer, because I knew it was going to be no, and I was already prepared. I'm like the telemarketer on the telephone with a notebook. I'm ready to flip page 27. No beans, say this. Right? I was ready. I was already talking, and I had to stop mid-sentence. And I said, and I didn't mean to. What did you just say? Did you just say yes? He said, Brad, I would love to. You would? you really? You would? Now I'm trying to calm myself down and not be like, yes! All he was waiting for was an invitation. We just got invite. So on Sunday, November the 6th, at the culmination of our series together, of Share, we're going to challenge every person in this room to find one person that can share the gospel with in October and invite them to come be your guest in worship and take them to lunch on November the 6th. I want you to begin praying now on August 28th that God would save lots of people on November the 6th because you invite them and you share the gospel with them, and we will just draw a big old net that day. What do you have to do? Simply invite someone. So you're going, holy cow, I don't know who to invite. Start praying right now. You got lots of time. God, give me somebody. And listen to me. They don't need to be a member at Asbury or Petal Harvey or Calvary, right?
You got to come be my guest. The preacher's going to be looking to see if I have somebody. So come pretend you're lost.
No. There's always a running joke at Southwestern Seminary. They would have seminary students ready to come down the aisle to be saved so they could have somebody come and be saved every single Sunday, right? That's not what we're looking for. We want you to genuinely find somebody. And if you don't know of anybody and you simply cannot find somebody, then you call the church office and I will give you lots and lots of names you can find somebody to connect with. Promise. Share. This, the first word, share, is share with others. Invite them to come. The H is a heart for the lost. A heart for the lost. Are you bothered and does it disturb you that there are thousands of people that will drive by this building on a Sunday and they will never darken the door of a church? Never. They have no clue who Jesus is. They have no clue about the gospel. They're living in hopelessness and darkness. Some of them thinking they're living the great life and don't even think they're hopeless, don't even know they're hopeless. Does that bother us as believers? If it doesn't, it should. It ought to. And that's half our problem, is because we just think to ourselves, well, my family knows Jesus and my church friends know Jesus and I really want them to know Jesus, but I don't know how that's going to happen. But we've got to start with a burden. We've got to be burdened. We've got to really care. Which is why we do a dental clinic, which is why we hand out backpacks, which is why we go do flood relief. We want people to know that we care, that we're burdened, that people need Jesus. Do you have a heart? Are you disturbed or bothered by those who don't know? The A, available and aware. Are you available? Are you willing to pray when you get up tomorrow morning? God, would you show me somebody today that needs to hear about the hope of the gospel? Just one today, Lord. Would you let me share a word of encouragement with them? Would you let me pray with them? I mean, a witness is, if somebody comes to you and starts spilling their guts to you. By the way, just so you know, tomorrow, if you pray that prayer and somebody comes to you and says, I got to talk to somebody. Can I talk to you? Okay, you're big. I want you to smile this really big smile. Okay? Woo, 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 woo. God has answered your prayer. All right? They've come to you and said, I have a problem. What do you do? Well, we give them the greatest advice we can give them, because we are a professional trained counselor. No. You listen, and here's what you say. Do you mind if I pray with you about that right here? Now some of you are going, preacher, I don't pray out loud. We'll start tomorrow. I don't know what to pray. We'll pray over your friend. There are times in my life, and I'm a believer, I've called someone and said, can you just pray over me? I just need to hear somebody to mention my name to the Father. I need that right now. Be available for God to use you. Be available for God to interrupt your schedule. Be available for that wonderful train in Hattiesburg to stop you so you could have that spiritual moment somewhere where you didn't lose your temper and you were trying to get somewhere. That maybe God has a holy appointment for you somewhere else, that if you made the train, you'd have missed it. Be available. Be aware of the circumstances around you, of people who might be lost. Fourthly, be ready. Ready to ask the Lord to use you, and that you have a responsibility. You have a job. You have a calling. It is a privilege. Sometimes we carry witnessing on our back like it's some awful thing. Okay, sometime before November 6th, I've got to share somebody with Jesus. Hey, friend, can I share with you about Jesus? Because it's such a burden. Jesus is such a burden. That's why we act sometimes, when we can share with him the greatest thing in history. How Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Oh, this crimson stain that was in my heart and my life, it's gone. I don't have any guilt. God has freed me completely. You can be too. I'm not better than you. I don't have it all together more than you. I've just simply found something that's changed my life and transformed me forever. Be ready. And lastly, I like this one. Are you excited about others coming to Christ? I think Tatiana's here. I see you, Tatiana. Can I share your story, what we talked about last week in my office? Is that okay? Is that good? Right on the spot. Is that good? Thank you. I was going to share it anyway, but thank you for giving me permission. But anyway, I'm kidding. We talked this earlier. Listen, Tatiana's in my office, and we were talking about the gospel, and I may have shared this from the baptistry. I don't remember if I shared it last week or not, but if I did, forgive me. But it's a great story. We're in my office, and I'm very leery of wanting to pressure anybody to ask Christ in their heart. I want it to be on their terms and for them to be convicted of their need for Jesus, especially with kids. So we were talking a little bit, and I kind of extended an invitation. I kind of sensed it, and I was like, Lord, do you think she's ready? I'm praying that prayer as I'm talking, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know if she's ready or not. And so I said, you think you're ready? And she kind of hesitated a little bit. I'm like, man, no, that's good. Take this stuff home. Read it with your mom. Read it with your mom. Y'all talk about that kind of stuff. Talk to your grandfather. And y'all kind of talk, and we'll come back and talk. So we kind of talked a little bit more, got ready to pray and end the conversation. I got up, and I got ready to leave, or we got ready to kind of end it. And I kind of got up, and I turned, and she said these words. Oh, can I please do it right now? And I said, no, absolutely not. No. No, we don't allow that in church. No. What? You didn't see on the inside, but I almost jumped through the ceiling. I'm like, yes, you can. I'm going to leave this office and you and your mom right here, and I'm going to close the door, and you guys can have that conversation. And you guys, you get it. I love, when I grew up, when people baptized, people sat there like, oh. Somebody gets baptized now, we clap, we celebrate. That's what we ought to do. We ought to be excited because one that was lost has come home. One of the lost sheep of the 99 has come home. We ought to be excited when people find Jesus. Are you excited about that? So what can we do quickly? Number one, you can pray. You can pray privately and corporately. You can pray with us on Wednesday nights corporately. Men, you can join us on Friday mornings at 7:30 in the conference room and pray. You can pray in your office with a group of people, in your neighborhood, with your family, individually. You can pray. Pray for God to use you. Pray for us as a church to be burdened. Pray for us, for God to give us opportunities to share the gospel with people. Pray. Pray and pray. I can give. You can give. Every single week when you give, you're a part of making a difference. So Friday morning, when we walk through the halls of Petal Primary, Rebecca and I and Emma, and we walk through and we talk to teachers and we listen to conversations and we interact with students, and I get to get a coconut and do coconut bowling in the classroom, we're going to do all these things. Why? What is it for? Why are we doing it? Here's why. You give to that. You don't get to go to the school every Friday, but I do. And I know it's a blessing. I get the blessing. It's because you give that we can do that. We can spend $15,000 to make certain that students in this school district that live within the walls and the steeple of our church can have food over the weekend. And know that this church cares about them. And they may never get it, but one day down the line, I know it. I know it to be true. There's going to be some child in the 11th grade, or they're going to hit college somewhere. They're going to drive by church, and the Holy Spirit of God is going to remind them of that backpack of that church down the street that didn't even know them, made sure they had something to eat. And somebody's going to come to them and say, do you know Jesus? No, I've not met him, but I know those people at that church cared about me. And they talked about Jesus. And they're going to find Jesus. You see, you're planting seeds when you give. When you put that check in that offering basket, when you do it online, which we have lots of people doing that now, by the way, thousands and thousands of dollars coming online every single month. Whenever you choose to give, whatever avenue you choose to give, it's making an impact. It's making a difference. That's part of sharing. The third, I can go. I say I can go. I would put on here, I must go. We're trying to provide as many avenues for you to be a part of going as possible. So much so, we have a hard time sometimes keeping up with them. Backyard Kids Club. You can do that. It's simple. It's an hour. You can bring your kids. Is it hot? Yes. Would I rather be in an air conditioner for an hour and 15 minutes versus outside out there sweating to death? Yes. That sounds very unspiritual, preacher. Yes, it does. But I'm going to go one of those Thursdays. Like, I may not be able to go everyone. We've got football practice, and you've got other things happening, but I'm going to miss one of those practices because I'm going to go one of the Thursday nights. And we went this summer several times as a family, and it's a hot mess. We're chasing Emma all over creation, trying to chase her down. She's sweating like a pig. I mean, it's just a mess, but it's worth it because I get the joy of seeing that mom or that dad get it and get to come to church. That's our whole goal. Some of you are here today, and we love that you're here. That's why we're going. The fourth one, I can share. What do I share? You can share your story, your testimony. You can share the ABCs. I've told it to you 8,000 times. I think last Sunday, Chris, was it last Sunday I was talking about this? Last Sunday was the first Sunday, maybe in the last 200 and something Sundays I've been pastor here, where I didn't share the ABCs. But every one of you have been here for any length of time, you ought to know the ABCs. You already know how to share the gospel. I don't know how to. Yes, you do. You got the three circles, the circles app you can use on your phone, or the tracks that we gave you last year. There's Roman Road. There's the answer tracks we have on the table. There's multiple ways you can share with other people. So we don't know how to do that. The last one, you can learn to share your faith. So we're going to launch this series, Tell Someone. You can share the good news. Greg Laurie is the author of this, a pastor in California, great, great communicator, does evangelism besides his own church. He's seen hundreds of thousands come to Christ. Very practical, very helpful, video-based teaching, discussion together, things you can do during the week, a couple of readings you can do for students all the way through adults. I don't really feel comfortable. I don't know how to do it. Didn't we do this last year? We did. We gave you three circles. Guess what? We're going to come back to it again because we want you to be sharing the gospel and to feel comfortable and at ease, relying on the Holy Spirit of God to help you communicate the gospel to somebody this year. Just think about it, church. Can you let your mind go there for a moment? What if just 100 people in our church took seriously this call this fall? Just 100. That I will pray for 3 lost friends this fall. I will learn how to share my faith with confidence while relying on the Holy Spirit. I will invite 5 people to life groups. Our life group growth is not keeping up pace with our worship growth. That's concerning for your pastor because life groups are critical. So the great question I ask life groups all the time is, who are you inviting? Who are you looking around the room that you don't know if they're in a life group or not? Well, go ask them. I'm already in a life group. Well, look, hey, everybody's fair game in this church. We don't assign you anywhere. We want you to be connected to a life group. So leaders, members of those life groups, you see new people join and you don't know if they're a part of a life group, man, y'all ought to eat them up when they're up here. They'll be like, hey, look, 3 people already invited me. You're all going to have to ease off a little bit now, right? That's what I want to see happen. 5 people invited to a life group and 1 person you will commit to share the gospel with in the month of October. Can you imagine if that happens in our church family, what November the 6th is going to look like? Or before that point, people always say, well, preacher, do I have to wait till October to share my faith with my friend? Yes, you need to wait at least 6 weeks because they'll certainly live. You're guaranteed to live 6 weeks beyond that. No, share with them tomorrow if God opens the door. But maybe it builds to that point. You build that relationship to that point. You pray to that point. And then in that holy moment, October, you just step over the line and say, I'm going to do it. For some of you, it's going to be like getting on that ride at Orange Beach at the what's that place called? The track. And I know some of you have done it, and I wonder about your sanity sometimes. I'm going to be honest with you. You put yourself on some swing, flat, let a wire pull you up that's no thicker than my leg, and up that you let them pull you and then let you go. I saw a video of Emily Shouse doing it, some others of you, right? Jeremy, I noticed you weren't on it. Negative, right? Somebody's got to stay alive. That's right. So, and I love those people that going up real confidently. Those are my favorite people. Are you seeing those commercials on TV? They get that one that takes them up and it bounces them up and down and up and around and around. Those people screaming, those big, burly men screaming like girls, you know? That'd be me. People do all those kind of stuff, but then we're talking about something that is life or death. That's pretty much life or death for me. You won't see me on one of those. No way, no how. But we'll do that. But will we do something that's just as thrilling and make your heart beat just as fast and get the joy of looking up when you pray that prayer with somebody and they genuinely find Jesus Christ as your Savior? When they look at you and there are tears coming down their cheek and they'll say, "Man, I'm so glad I just did that." And you know that God used you in the process to see somebody's soul secure for eternity. Wow! There can be nothing greater. Go share the love of Christ with everyone everywhere. We listed the opportunities on your worship guide. There are tons of ways you can do this right here in your backyard and other endeavors. 4 years ago, there were no opportunities hardly at all. We have expanded. We have one more piece to add, the Mississippi piece. We're working on that piece. We're adding that as we come along. And so we'll have four different avenues. We'll be a balanced church that is not only reaching the ends of the earth, but our own backyard. Next summer, we've already talked about plans to expand our Backyard Kids Club into at least one other location. We'd love to do two if the Lord would raise up some of you to say, "Yes, count me in. I'll commit this summer to make that impact." We want to expand ministries through our primary school. We want to expand our 311 day next year. We want to do a much bigger dental clinic and medical clinic. It's like a lot of people to pull that off. We're going to ask people next year, "Are you ready for this? You're going to love it." We're going to ask some of you next year to take a day of vacation. Are you kidding? No. I'm not. We're going to ask you to take a day of vacation, one of those days, if you can. Not everybody can, but some could. So take a big day of vacation to serve, because we're going to do some days during the week. Might even do it into Sunday afternoon. Why? Because we want to take seriously our call to go to everyone, everywhere. To engage people with the hope of the gospel to see lives transformed. Would you pray with me this morning? God, thank you for this incredible opportunity you've given us. Lord, to go back to the basics. To go back to that which matters most. And God, we close this morning with the last word, the word "go." And one that is perhaps the most important. Though we know we have to be connected and grow before we'll go. But Lord, this is our call. We have to start with the connect. We've got to be connected to you, deeply connected to you. We've got to be growing in you, growing in our connections with the body of Christ, committed to serving, Father, our time and our resources. And Lord, lastly, feeling the call and understanding the call to go. I pray for each person, Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, with every head bowed and every eye closed, that every person that is in this room can say, "All right, here's the box I need to check. The connect, the grow, the commit, or the go. This is where I am. This is where I need to be. What is my next step, Lord? Show me." If you're in the connect, your next step is to grow. Grow deeper. If you check all four of those boxes and you say, "You know what? I've got to find somebody I can take around that circle," then you would do that this morning. That would be your call. For some of you this morning, as we pray together, you've never come to a place where you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart. You never asked Him to forgive you of all of your sins, admitted that you were a sinner to Him, to believe that He is the Son of God, not only with your head, but with your heart, that it will change who you are, that you sit down in your belief. You trust it. You confess Him as Savior. "God, I cannot save myself," and you commit your life to Him as Lord. "Lord, you are the boss of my life. I will follow you for the rest of my days." That will be for some of you. For others of you, you need to come and join this church family. That's your next step, is to connect. "I want to be a part of this body of believers." God's called you. You're already a follower of Christ. Maybe you've already accepted Christ, but you've never been baptized. Would you pray that God would give you the courage to come and say, "I've done that. I want the world to know that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." Grab somebody to come with you. If you're scared to go by yourself, say, "Would you come with me? I'm not sure. I may pass out before I get there. Would you drag me the rest of the way?" You can do that. For others to come to this altar and pray over where you've checked on that mark of where I am and those basics of connecting, growing, committing, and going, that you check that and come and pray over, "God, help me." Maybe praying over a lost friend, that God would give you a friend, somebody to share Christ with. God, whatever it is in this moment, I pray, Lord, we would be about fulfilling this incredible call. Lord, hear the cry of our heart, that you would heal our land, that you would do a work in this place, right here and right now. We wouldn't leave. Lord, I know this is an invitation time, and I pray we would not leave, go grab our kids from the preschool. Lord, the only people that should be moving would be those moving to the front. Nobody else moving. We don't want any distractions, Lord, from what you're calling us to. This is a critical moment, and I pray we wouldn't miss it. God, move in this place. Holy Spirit of God, have your way. People have prayed for this moment. So, Lord God, I pray for the freedom of Jesus to reign in this place. As we worship and respond to you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.